Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. A month of demonstrations, at least four people have been killed. Chaos in the Capitol. And according to polls, 8 out of 10 people support protesters. Sounds like a government in trouble. And it's not Venezuela, Iraq, nor Somalia, but France. Stay with us as we take a look at the latest on the demonstrations across the country of France.
Thick smoke is billowing out of the streets of the French capital, Paris. Angry protesters are battling security forces in warlike scenes. The yellow vests were what brought the protests in France under the spotlight. People across the country began their protests under the name of Yellow Vests Movement 4 weeks ago. Government's plan to levy higher taxes on fossil fuel was the first grievance of the people. But this was only a drive to make people take to the streets to vent their anger at President Macron's economic policies. People say they can barely make ends meet.
No, it's not right. I'm emotional today, to be honest with you. If not, I wouldn't have been in the streets. I'm upset. There are people who don't earn enough money to make a living, who earn a 1,000 euro a month. That's a lot of poverty.
Some of them are suffering, struggling. They have a job. They do their 35 hours a week and earn 1,200 euros. They struggle to have a place to live, and when they have one, they are in the overdrafts.
The French government links the reforms to the country's ambitious policy aimed at reducing carbon emissions by 75%, in part by raising taxes on diesel and gasoline. It says it is planning to close the country's four remaining coal-fired power plants and that it will be investing billions of euros in renewable energies. The government is also planning to reduce the country's dependency on nuclear power. However, to quell the unrest, the government was first forced to agree to suspend the reforms for 6 months. But the suspension news didn't send the furious protesters home, and this made the government concede and scrap the whole idea, saying it won't happen in 2019 at all. The protesters say they do not trust the government anymore. They say Emmanuel Macron is only the president of the rich, and weaning the country off the fossil fuels is just a pretext. The French government says it sympathizes with the protesters, but at the same time it has slammed what it described as ultra-violent thugs that have hijacked the demonstrations. The government also accuses far-right political groups of stoking violence. Leader of France's far-right national rally, Marine Le Pen, was the first to express support for the Yellow Vests movement. She, however, refused to join the ranks of the protesters. Other political parties have been rather more cautious in taking sides with the protesters in order to save their environmentalist image. The French government's massive arrests and its heavy-handed crackdown is signaling a fierce battle ahead. The end game could be one of the following: an end to the demonstrations or the government's concession to the demands of the protests, which has been described by the Interior Minister as a, quote, monster.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, Secretary General CIPI Foundation, Paolo Raffonia, Brussels, out of Brussels, and columnist and political commentator Neil Bradley out of Paris. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Paris. The French appear to be in big trouble. Do you agree with this or not? And if so, why is that the case?
Are we talking about the French people here or the French, the elites, the government?
Yes, I'm talking about the French in general and, of course, them putting pressure on the elite.
Yes, indeed. As has been pointed out already now, by the mainstream commentators, the issue of raising fuel tax in France in 2019, next month, was only the straw that broke the camel's back. And everyone can clearly see now that the levels of anger directed at the government clearly stem from more than just one tax or a whole set of tax, supposedly for saving the environment. This is a serious issue. This is really a protest, a drive to express anger about general corruption against the French government. And even beyond that, people are smart. Although they are pointing out that they want Macron to resign, Macron, Michon. They realize full well that he is a puppet. I mean, he was only voted in last year. They understand that no matter who in the current system or the current climate or regime of how power actually comes to be in France, as it is in other countries in Europe, you will only get someone who's a yes man for somebody else. They cannot even affect the promises they make during their election campaigns because they're beholden to someone else's agenda. That is the anger, really. That's the source of it. And it's a frustration. It's not really known what they can do to fix it. They knew, I think, in going, attempting to go to the Elysee today, what they weren't going to get rid of Macron and then physically, magically, that would change everything for France. They know that there's an institutional issue and a serious constitutional crisis insofar as there's a profound lack of trust of most French people towards their governing institutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paulo, how do you see it? Now, the protests, as we just stated, obviously started because of increased fuel taxes, but definitely has turned into something else. What has made this demonstration different? What is it about Macron's economic policy in general that is causing such fury on the streets in France?
Well, let's start with the fact that Macron's policies have been an arrogant trigger of the resentment which is widespread in the French population and it's lagging now for several years. So the movement that has popped out called the Yellow Jackets in fact is a sort of an insurgent for democracy movement denouncing the fact that the way the Republic of France is run by the elites and the relationship between the elites and the population in France is not working in a positive way. Basically, there is no legitimation of these elites in spite of the procedural voting, which is repeatedly done in the country. This insurgent for democracy movement today represented two specific let's say, problems that the people are confronted with. On one side, there is the end of the month problem, which is linked to the austerity and the socio-political issues. And simultaneously, there was also another demonstration which joined, which were the Green Jackets. The Green Jackets were denouncing the inactivity of all governments to save the world from an environmental disaster. So as we see, the population is understanding very well that the future is green and the authorities represented by the elites in power are not giving appropriate responses. This is the movement that we have seen. Now, of course, the power of the state has been displayed in an incredible way. Let's not forget the indecent situation in a high school in France where about 150 students of the age of 15 have been treated like in a Guantanamo base by the French police. I mean, we are seeing things which are really incredible. Preemptive arrest of people of about 1,000 actually at the end of the day, mm-hmm. and similar numbers have occurred in Belgium where okay. today there was another demonstration.
Well, stay with me, Paulo. Let me get Niall back in on this. Why have we seen, Niall, a constant deterioration of French? The French economic or French economic well-being, not just under Macron's reign, but for at least the last 10 years, we have been seeing a steady deterioration.
Yes, indeed. In 2008, when the global financial crisis, which began in the United States, so it's really the American financial crisis, when that happened, France's public debt, so the debt held by its government, went from roughly 56% to where it is today, 100%, it has doubled. So this is in part a crisis that has unfolded as a result of that financial crash, and also it's a structural problem. It's to do with the European Union, and it's to do with the French efforts at the level of government to maintain the European Union as such, and the linchpin for that is keeping France and Germany together in lockstep on economic issues. France, as finance ministers made clear way back in, it's only two, three years ago, actually, this, when Syriza came to power in Greece, the French finance minister was telling Varoufakis, listen, I understand the problems you're going through. We too in France are very strictly limited in what we can and cannot do because of the rules nominally set by Brussels. But the overarching reason for it is to hold up the European Union. And the imperative for that is to keep the French economy in lockstep with the German economy. France suffers economically because of this great idea, which has its valid reasons, of course. We don't want France and Germany to go to war ever again. But this relationship and the need to uphold this structure of the two in economic lockstep is hurting the French people almost as much, in fact, as it was hurting the Greek people before that and the other so-called pig nations, PIGG, in the peripheral countries around Europe. So it's finally coming more into the core of Europe, the inbuilt structural issues that were originally only affecting the peripheral countries. The chickens are coming home to roost.
Now, some protesters, Paolo, have been interviewed on the streets and saying that many French people are having more and more trouble being able to afford to feed themselves. Do you think that this is an exaggeration or a true reflection of what is going on?
No, no, it is no exaggeration. And personally, I do have several friends who were not in these protests, but they support them from the background. Who are absolutely normal people, do a normal, conduct a very simple life, and they told me a few weeks ago that because of the austerity measures that are implemented on behalf of the European Union, their life has become impossible. We are talking of people who live in remote agricultural areas, so these are families with two kids, and they are used to have conduct a simple life with about 1,000 euros per month. It is enough to increase some prices and some taxes that they will see their survival eroded and impossible. And this is what is happening. We have to understand that behind the tip of the iceberg, which is the one we see on the TVs with the jackets, the blue jackets in the streets, there is like about 70% of support from the French public.
Yeah, the public is—it's amazing that they have definitely given massive support for these demonstrations. And we look at that aspect, Neil. And although we have critics of the Macron government saying that he does not want to even listen to what protesters are saying, and then on the other hand, we have some polls saying, as far as the support for these protesters, almost 80%. What exactly is going on here? How could it be that the leader seems to be so detached from what is going on?
Yeah, absolutely. This is bigger than economics. This expression of anger is accumulation of previous mass protests in France going back over the last decade. Some 5-6 years ago, in 2012, I believe, there were demonstrations that were bigger in number than we're currently seeing, 500,000 at a time. And there was no violence at those ones because they were largely family affairs. Children and husbands and wives all went to them. They were protesting. It was called Les Manifs pour tout. And so they were protesting for traditional values, for the rights of families, for protecting families. And some among their specific grievances, one of which was at the time France was passing legislation to pass equal marriage rights for homosexuals. But that wasn't their specific grievance. It was that education, the education system in France was pushing a very strange theory called gender theory, which is now ubiquitous everywhere in the West, namely that gender is a social construct, and we see it in the proliferation of all these unusual and frankly strange movements to push for things like the recreation of the language and what people can and cannot say and how they address people of a certain gender. Anyway, so this too has fed into this. So this is something, if you like, traditionally from the right. The economics maybe is from the left. The overwhelming thing that unites all of these things, that unites the people of France, and what speaks to this distance between Macron and the elites in France and in Europe and the people, is that this is a nationalist uprising, if you like. It is a largely a unity of left and right against a globalist set of ideas which might loosely be called a globalist ideology.
Hmm.
Macron, he speaks frankly about this. He says, I am not a nationalist. Yes, he gave some lip service to patriotism, but he's also said there's no such thing as French culture. He says things that just jar with the natural views of how most people in France will see their country, just as it is in any other country. And so he has put up his flag and says, I am a globalist. And he has set himself apart from the people in France.
What about that, Paulo? Do you see it similar to what Niall is saying? Do you think that this is a clash basically between the globalists and nationalists, or is it something beyond that or less than that? How do you evaluate it?
Certainly it is an insurgency against the globalists. Now that it is purely nationalist, this has to be seen, because as far as I have heard from those who have been interviewed in the movement, they're not having any nationalist stand. They just criticize the fact that the betrayal of the national elites in favor of the globalist interests is damaging the French people. This is what they're saying. So if someone somewhere, for instance, in the European Union, would give them an answer, would be greatly appreciated. The problem is that the European Union is a globalist institution and is keeping itself detached and silent on all this affair.
Hmm. Well, Neil, Macron had once said that he wanted to rule France like the Roman god Jupiter, unchallenged and detached from trivial matters. Is this what is going on currently in France, that its leader is totally detached now from the people and really cannot relate to the economic problems that the average person seems to be going through?
Absolutely. It's really that simple. He cannot relate to someone who's having to live hand to mouth, won't make it till the end of the month. And the very first things that were articulated by the French government about 10 days into the protest were that this was all bad, these were all violent. They only had bad words to say. And they initially said, of course, that they would not back down. Now they have since backed down, and they've agreed to delay or supposedly cancel these taxes. But the gap is nothing sums up the gap, I think, more than the fact that Macron, last Saturday, when the arguably the most violent scenes we saw in Paris and elsewhere in France, even more so than this weekend, last Saturday, while that was happening, Macron was writing an article, an op-ed, that would be published in Sunday's Wall Street Journal, encouraging its readership, big business, I suppose, in the United States, to invest their private wealth into schemes that would help to save the planet and to bring this great green future that Macron, of course, is an ardent believer in. And that's not all. At the same time, Guy Verhofstadt, the former prime minister of Belgium, on the Friday, in fact, when police cars were burning outside his office window somewhere in Brussels, at the same time, he was tweeting the announcement of the EU's grand plan to transition European Union into a carbon neutral economy by 2050.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting at here is that whatever the great intentions they have of how they can foresee a carbon neutral future and how that would maybe drop the planet's temperature by X degrees, frankly, in my opinion, I've looked at that issue and I think that it's utopian. I think they're disconnected from just even the scientific facts on this. But okay, leaving that aside for a second, the very fact that they're sticking with their agenda. Well, what do I have to do this Friday? Okay, I'll announce this upcoming initiative. While police cars are burning outside because people don't have enough money to live day to day. The disconnect is so insanely huge. And of course, it speaks to the problem that was inbuilt to the European Union in the first place, the democratic deficit. Everyone knows about it. People in Brussels openly talk about it. Literally, the peoples of Europe don't have a voice. When they do throw out a government, a national government at the member state level, Brussels or somebody maybe at the European Central Bank will tell them, sorry, no, you cannot have that government minister. No, that's not going to work.
Okay, let me get Paulo back in on this discussion. Paolo, do you see what is happening in France expanding? I mean, we have seen demonstrations taking place in Brussels. Do you think that it's a possibility that it will spread to other EU countries who are experiencing similar type of pressure, if not more?
Certainly the resentment is spreading, and it is visible in the majority of the European member states. Now, how this resentment will represent itself, will it become a form of demonstration like in France? This depends very much by the political culture of the places where this resentment is and how things are handled by the authorities. In France, there is a tradition of juxtaposition between the central power and the population. So there is a legitimacy of the central power until when the people uprises and cuts the throats. And this is what is happening. This is a tradition in France. In other countries, this is intermediated by various social corps, and so this may not explode in the same visible way like in France. But certainly, the resentment is present all over the European member states.
And 30 seconds, really quick. And now, do you see this turning and expanding at what's going on in France, or do you see it dying out? Because we know the holidays are coming up in just a few weeks. Your assessment, 30 seconds, please.
This specific movement may die out.
Now, go ahead.
It will not. He says it will not. Okay, so I will say it. This specific one will probably die out as a yellow vest movement in this form. However, what have we had in the last few years? We've had Brexit. We've had the Catalonia referendum and the violent crackdown to repress that. There are talks about other secessionist movements. We're going to see other forms of dissent in Europe, and I think they will be even more widespread and more entrenched next time around.
All right, and on that note, so sorry to interrupt you, but we have to end the program. Appreciate you both being with us. Secretary General, CIPI Foundation, Paolo Raffoni out of Brussels, and columnist and political commentator, now Bradley out of Paris. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. See you next time.